Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been on a great vacation? Anybody here ever been on a great vacation? Awesome. Someone's almost on a great vacation. Ian's leaving after church today, so that's awesome. In light of the fact that a number of the congregation is probably in the air right now, flying off to a great vacation, we're going to skip ahead to the conversation part of today's message, and I want you to find a person around you, maybe someone you usually don't talk to, and briefly tell them about a great vacation you've had. Does that make sense? I expect lots of chatter, so tell someone around you about a great vacation you've had. Go! Please stop. Thank you. Can someone in a word or two shout out what was your great vacation?
Italy.
Thank you. Greece. Thank you. Ireland. Thank you. Antigua. Thank you. Anywhere else? What? Landover, Maryland. You'll talk to me at coffee, okay? I need to know more about that. Amsterdam, thank you. What? St. John's, Newfoundland. Wow, awesome. There are lots of great places to visit and explore. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. What Sunday is it? Thank you. We climb up the mountain with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Kind of makes me wonder where Mary and Martha are. It seems like an old boys' club up at the top, doesn't it? This trip up the mountain with Jesus could be compared to a retreat or a great vacation that restores one in mind, body, and spirit. And then what are we doing on Tuesday? Pancakes, thank you. And bring a neighbor or friend. And also say thank you to the Pathfinders and Rangers, I believe, who are helping to serve, which is so important this year with people away. And then we start Lent on Wednesday, and I've already mentioned that the joint service is at St. Stephen at 6:30 if you want to join in. Appleby's Lenten study this year focuses on those final chapters of Brian McLaren's book, We Make the Road by Walking. And it has some great insights on how we learn to listen to the Spirit and putting Jesus' teachings into practice in our own day-to-day life. And in many ways, that's what Lent is about. It's about reflecting on our own life and reflecting on the stories of Jesus and putting the two together. Now, the subtitle in Brian's book is amazing, A Year-Long Quest for Spiritual Formation, Reorientation, and Activation. What a mouthful. We have been looking at it for a little over a year, and these are actually the last ones in the book that we didn't do last summer while I was on holidays. So we're starting with chapter 46, entitled The Spirit of Service. And Brian says the Spirit always leads us downward. And if you read the passage after Transfiguration, Jesus and the disciple come back down the mountain into the reality of everyday world. Anyone here who has returned from holidays and had to go back down into the regular routine and back to work and all those things knows a bit about what the disciples were facing. Now, that downward movement may surprise many in a culture that is obsessed with upward mobility. When we watch ads and different things, everything, we climb upwards. Socially, we want to rise to a higher standard of living at positions of work or in our social clubs. Yet Jesus said in Matthew today that the greatest amongst you must be your servant. Thank you. And whoever makes himself great will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be made great. When you or others think about God, what do you think people think of? What do you think of when you hear the word God? Whoa. You've got some work to do this Lent. What do you think of when you hear the word God? Our Creator. Thank you. Love. Where would most people think God resides? In heaven. Thank you. Way up there. Yet Jesus modeled a profoundly different version of God. 2 Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that while Jesus had the nature of God, he became a human being and took on the nature of a servant. In Jesus, God comes down to earth and meets us where we're at, in our neighborhood, on our level, where we need God the most. God comes down into the pit of human need and suffering and abandonment. God isn't distant from us, way up there in the clouds, looking down aloof. God is right here, right now, within reach, through a neighbor, through prayer, through a church community, through helping hands. While we race to get to the head of the table, Jesus shocks everyone by taking the role of the servant. Do you remember what he does that night? Thank you. Washes people's feet. We push and squeeze to get into the inner circle. Remember the description of the scribes and Pharisees wanting the best plates at the marketplace, best seats. Yet Jesus shocks everyone by walking to the margins to hang out with the outcasts and the outsiders. And he gets in trouble for that. While we fight to seize power over others, Jesus empowers others by standing with them in solidarity, listening to them with respect, by seeking to make them successful, not him, even at the cost to himself. Brian has a long list of suggestions of what happens if you listen to the Spirit. And I love them because they have to do with everyday life. He says maybe you'll be at a party one day and you'll notice on one side of the room all the more popular people, all the more beautiful people, well-dressed, laughing, having a great time together. Maybe even think about coffee time. And then in the far corner, you'll notice a person who is alone. feeling awkward, not knowing anyone, not talking to anyone, and the Spirit will draw you to the person in need. Maybe you'll be the bridge that connects that outsider to the inside. And through that connection, you'll both be blessed. Brian says, if you listen to the Spirit, this is challenging, this might happen to you. You'll be in a voting booth or in a position of power. And more powerful people will appeal to you for their vote, their support, your cooperation. They offer you plenty or make promises if you comply. But the Spirit will draw you downward to use your vote and your power for those who aren't at the table of privilege. The homeless, the sick, the infirm in body, mind, or spirit, the poor, the unemployed, the immigrant, the ailing. In short, the last, the least, the lonely, and the lost. And they've been featured a lot in the Hamilton Spectator this past week. The Spirit invites you to hear their concerns, take them to heart, so your heart can join with theirs. Here's what happens if you listen to the Spirit. Has anybody here ever had a disagreement with someone? Do you know of anyone who might be a little ticked or annoyed with you? Of course, we're not going to put our hands up for that one, are we? Of course not. Have you ever known someone maybe to spread rumors behind your back or work behind your back to cause you harm? Everything in you screams to get even, to write them off. But the Spirit will draw you towards them in humility, and you might say, you know, I have a problem and I need your help. Can we work on this together? Or maybe I sense some tension between us that wasn't there before. Can we try and make things better? What's up? Now, your opponent may be too angry and insecure to respond well, but whatever happens, the Spirit is at work in you. Anybody here ever made a mistake?
Never.
Never. Thank you. You do next week's sermon, let me tell you. You know, we want to hear from you. When we make mistakes, aren't we tethered to cover it up, to think nobody will notice, or make an excuse, blame others? You know, I wonder what Mr. Trudeau is doing these days. I thought that might get a response. You know, make a mistake. The Spirit will draw you to admit it first, to yourself and to God, and then to those who deserve to know, or those that you have harmed. Here's what I did. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And in that acknowledgement, God will be real. In your humility, God will be present. The Spirit always moves us downward, not upwards. Here's what happens if you listen to the Spirit. You'll see a person or a group being vilified or scapegoated. I don't know about you, but I'm uncomfortable with this passage from John because it talks about Judas Iscariot and the devil being, you know, sent into him. It's the last gospel to be written, and by then the community of faith has started to do what? They've started to make Judas the scapegoat. Okay? Everyone is blaming them, shaming them, gossiping about them, venting their anxiety on them. If you join in, you'll feel a part of the group. We all want to be a part of the group. If you're silent, they'll assume you are with them. But the Spirit will draw you to differ courageously and graciously. I'm sorry, you'll say, but I see things differently. I know this person. He is my friend, or she is a good person. They are human beings just like us. Maybe we need to struggle to understand Judas better. Does anybody remember Jesus Christ Superstar, the rock opera? That opera takes a different twist on Judas. How many of you here get the McLean's magazine? Anybody get McLean's? This is the February issue. What color is on the front? Thank you. Do you know what the title is? What's wrong with the left and how to fix it? Okay? You flip to the other side. What color? Thank you. The title there is What's Wrong with the Right and How to Fix It. Thank you very much. I found the articles very, very interesting. What I found disturbing is that the article said there doesn't seem to be many red Tories or blue grits anymore. Do you know what is meant by that or what I took from that? What color are the Tories usually? Blue, thank you. What color are the grits usually? Thank you. So what's a red Tory? A little more in the middle, a moderate. Okay, and a blue grit. Maybe people more in the middle that are able to have thoughtful, respectful conversations about things that matter so we can move forward. Welcome to the brown bag lunch on Tuesday at 12 noon. Bring a newspaper article. Now, do you want to know what McLean says will be one of the hot button issues in the upcoming election? Immigration. The Brian said, another suggestion, if you listen to the Spirit, you'll be in a public place. You'll see a person who by their dress or language or mannerism is clearly from another religion, another culture, or another social class. You can tell that person is uncomfortable and has a need. You will fear the Spirit inspiring a question within you. If I were in their shoes, in an unfamiliar or uncomfortable environment, what would I want someone to do for me? Then you move towards them. You will overcome differences in language and culture through your eyes and a warm smile and a gentle presence. You will speak a universal language of neighborliness. And in that moment, they and you will feel that God is real and the Spirit of God is alive in you. Maybe an issue a little closer to home. Has anybody ever come home or you're tired, you've come home, it's late, and you know what's greeting you in the sink? You know what's greeting you in the sink. I hear the laughter. Great big stack of dishes. Maybe there's coats and boots on the floor. Maybe the trash hasn't been taken out. Okay? And inside you scream, someone was supposed to have done this. I'm tired. I don't want to deal with this tonight. You rehearse your speech. You're ready to give it to them. And then there's a little something in the back of your head that goes, maybe they're just as tired and overworked as I am. So maybe I can help. And then you start to wash the dishes. First of all, you scrub them very, very hard. You know why? It's called working out your anger, right? You know? Do the pots and pans first. They're the worst. And you do it not to be manipulative, but as an act of service. Now, if the habit becomes the neglect is habitual, you won't step in right away, but you will find a gentle, wise, kind way to speak to them and help them fulfill their responsibilities better. Either way, as you serve, you will know that God is real and God is alive in you and in that community. One of the things I love at the end of this chapter, Brian says, you know, there may be a time in your life when you are the one that will need to be served, not serving. How many find it easy to be served? A few, thank you. Most of us find that hard. Even then, you'll have the opportunity to appreciate, to bless, to say thank you to those who serve you. And in doing so, you'll experience mutual service and one of the greatest joys of life. In this passage from John's Gospel today, there's a mess up. Someone made the arrangements and forgot something for the Passover. Do you remember what they forgot? They forgot to get a servant to wash their feet. You can almost feel the awkwardness in the room. The disciples are trading glances at one another. I'm not getting up and doing that yucky job. You do it. I'm not doing it. You do it. Jesus notices the eye movement, and guess who gets up? Thank you. Jesus gets up, takes off his outer garment, and washes the disciples' feet. If you follow the Spirit of God leads you downward into humility, into service, into solidarity, into risk and grace. We often strive to be cool, to fit in, but now the Spirit makes you warm with compassion for others. At times we climb over others to get to the head of the table. Now the Spirit leads you to wash their feet. You used to strive to fit into the inner circle. Now the Spirit dares you to be different on behalf of those on the outside and the outcasts. Jesus tells us you don't find God at the top of the ladder. You find God through descent, by going down the ladder. And on the bottom, there's a trap door. And when you fall through the trap door, you fall into God. It happened to Jesus, specifically on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And whether you or I want to acknowledge it or not, it will happen to us sometime in our life too. And when you fall through that trap door, know that you fall into a God whose mercy and compassion is beyond our imagination as we all wrestle with the darkness in our lives and in our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.